turn in your copy of the scriptures to Proverbs 6. Tonight we'll look at verses 1 through 15. And next week we'll look at verses 16 through 19. I thought it would be good to break apart this little section of sayings and keep 16 through 19 special. It's a kind of a unique feature of the wisdom literature. Let's give our attention now to God's Word, beginning in the first verse of chapter 6 of Proverbs. The Father continues speaking to His children and says, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor and have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself, for you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, hasten, and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give to your eyes no sleep, and to your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. He winks with his eyes, he signals with his feet, he points with his finger. With perverted heart, he devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing." Amen. This is God's word for us. I wonder how many life lessons you have learned the hard way. And the chuckle says a few. All right, how many lessons have you learned through what we call the school of hard knocks? How many of you wish maybe you had been raised better? How many of you wish maybe your parents had taught me this or that? Or maybe your lament is, "I wish I had listened and life would have been easier." Well, the Proverbs give us topics galore, endless topics to teach us what's wise, to tell us what's foolish, and to compare and contrast different ways of living. And there are three sayings tonight in chapter six, three topics, and we'll give them all a S. There's surety, there's sloth, and there are scoundrels. And so we want to look at what wisdom we can learn from a father, from our mothers, from those wiser than us about these three things: surety, sloth, and scoundrels. So the first thing we want to look at is putting up surety, and that comes in verses 1 through 5. We just read those. Maybe you have a friend who is down and out, and it's a very common thing for them to say, "Hey, loan me some money." Right? And so you've done well, and you say, "Well, maybe this isn't such a bad thing." But we watch those afternoon television shows, right? The judge shows, and there's friend A and friend B. Friend A says, "I loaned my friend B some money." Of course, they're not friends anymore, right? Loaning people money personally never goes well, usually. And they're at odds with each other. "I thought you gave me the money." "No, I loaned it." Well, the judge says, "Where's the promissory note?" Right? It goes on and on. But maybe you have a friend who's down and out, and you want them to get ahead like you have. And so maybe the most common way to think about this in our day and age is to co-sign a loan. Right? Maybe you have a kid who things just aren't going well for them, and so you get this brainy idea, maybe if I co-sign a loan for a car, they'll feel better about themselves. I've heard this one before, actually. I'll co-sign a car or co-sign a house. And what's the wisdom of Forrest Gump? Stupid is, stupid does. If they've done it before, they're going to do it again, and now you're on the hook for it, right? And so putting up surety, a father teaches his son, is a very foolish thing to do. Maybe you are feeling a little altruistic. Maybe you're saying, "My friend would do it for me if the tables were turned." And so we strike hands in security. We give our word. We give our pledge. And notice the words in verses 1 through 5. We're all of a sudden ensnared. We're caught. The hands of another are around us. We are the hunted. The fowler is going to cast his net over us. And so while it may be generous for us to help out a friend in need or a brother in need, it's often foolish. It was considered in the ancient Near East a foolish thing for a young person to do this because they had no wealth to reach back into. To put up surety for another was to bring likely ruin on themselves. But maybe you have a little extra. And maybe there's a biblical principle. Sometimes we help others even if we lose a little. Well, that's for an older, wiser person to do, one that can absorb the bump, as it were. But for a young person, never sign papers with another, for then you will be ensnared. And notice the urgency. Give no eyes, verse 4, to sleep. Give your eyes no sleep. Give your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the fowler. And so if you're thinking about these passages in light of a father teaching his son something, what's the end result of being a fool here? You might lose your shirt for the sake of your friend. But what's the end result if you live wisely? You still got your shirt, right? That's what we ought to think of here. Well, the second S in our study tonight is sloth. And you find that in verses 6 through 11. The sloth, the sluggard, the lazy person. We're going to see plenty more of this one in the book of Proverbs. But the lazy person lives for the moment. They do not live for the future. And so they eke out a living moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour, usually living off of the goodness and welfare of others. They live for the moment and not for the future. They are the sloth, the lazy one. And so the lesson here for the child, for the one learning wisdom, is to look to the ant. The ant is the smallest creature in the animal kingdom, but has the greatest industry. You ever get an anthill in the yard and you, with fascination, follow them around? That is before you pour something on it or in it or whatever and take care of it. We don't want anthills in our yard because they are industrious. And what will those anthills do? They'll tear things up. So we want them gone. But we know something about them. You know, they are, as these verses say, they are without having any chief, without any officer, without any ruler. And yet they prepare bread in summer and gather food in the harvest. And apparently the lesson, the object lesson here is, you know, you're lazy. There's going to come a day when you're going to need something. We go to the Walmart, right? We go to the Harris Teeter. We go to the Aldi's or whatever the places we go for groceries. But this year you went in there and guess what? The shelves were empty. I can remember back in March, we were debating what should we do for April and May. If what they're saying is true, what should we do? So we did what the ants did. Well, I didn't, but my wife did. Went all over town, and we got the paper towels and the toilet paper, and we stocked up the pantry, and we made it through May. Well, just last week, we got to thinking, you know, this election is probably going to get a little crazy. Some of you are going to go rushing to the grocery store tonight just because I say this. But we did a similar thing this week. My wife did. But that's a wise thing, isn't it? Store up while you can, for there may be days where there is want. And if you have plenty in your barns or in your pantry, you are like the ant. Maybe some of you can think back to Y2K. You still got some of those dried beans and rice and whatever else. You're always prepared. But think about other biblical stories where being prepared is a good thing. Remember Joseph and his brothers hated him. Remember the coat of many colors, that really set his brothers at odds. And they sold him to some Midianite traders. He went off to Egypt. He got put in jail for 10 years, but he interpreted the dreams. And what did he do? He became the steward over Egypt, and he saved the whole ancient Near East from famine by his wisdom. And you only have to flip just a few pages over in your book of Proverbs, and you land on Proverbs 31. And it speaks of the woman who fears the Lord, the industrious wife. She does all that is necessary to prepare her household for winter. But this is not the case with the sloth. The sloth loves to sleep, even sleep through harvest. And verse 9 gives great warning. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. So again, think of the end that you're trying to teach the young generation. Do you want to be poor, broken, hungry? Or do you want to have the pantry full? I can remember, I think I gave a little allusion last week to the Laura and Mary story, so forgive me two in a row, but you remember the long winter? Now, Manzo and Royal were living in their little claim shanty, and what did they have behind their false wall? They had corn all the way up, and they didn't tell anybody about it, but what did they eat every night? Pancakes. Those boys were raised well, weren't they? If you read the Farmer Boy, you realize that that was an industrious household. There was not a moment wasted, not a crop wasted, not a byproduct of that farm wasted. And so here you have these two boys that did what a lot of people did. They moved out west for the promise of free land. Most people starved to death, but not these two, because they were industrious. They had been raised well. So you look at the end. Look at the end. Do you want to starve? Do you want to be prepared? Do you want to be poor? Or do you want to have plenty? And so there's the sloth. And then the last little section, the last S is scoundrels, verses 12 through 15. Or it says here, a worthless person. Some of y'all know that in the Hebrew, the word for man is Adam, right? Adam simply means man, or then this worthless man, that's two words jammed together in the Hebrew language here in Proverbs chapter 6. And it's Adam and then the word Belial. Belial is kind of a word for like a worthless or satanic type person. And so you have a Adam Belial here. That's the phrase. And it's an interesting word picture, isn't it? We say to our kids when they're going to go running around, don't you go running around with so-and-so. They're worthless, right? They're trouble. Or we have some sort of moniker for them, because we know that if your kids, our kids, go running around with them, oh, there's going to be trouble, for these are troublemakers. And that's the warning here. We've had a warning against giving up security. Then a warning against being lazy. Now this is a warning about the company you keep. And notice what these troublemakers do. Their speech, their eyes, their finger, their feet, but most of all, their heart. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. He winks with his eyes. He signals with his feet. He points with his finger. With perverted heart, he devises evil, continually sowing discord. And then the warning, calamity will come upon him. Suddenly, in a moment, he will be broken beyond healing. It's a powerful thing to see what's going on in our country through social media, through the news media, through intimidation, through all sorts of lies and deceit. And it's really got our nation in a bind, doesn't it? I think a lot of people are awake and they see this. And in many ways, they feel powerless to do anything about it. But we want to stay away from those whose speech is crooked, whose eyes signal, whose hands signal, whose feet signal, but most of all, whose heart sows discord. I flip around the TV channels a little bit here and there to see if what I hear is really true. And it really is. It's pretty nasty out there on the television. If you were to watch the news today, I think you would really believe that there's a dark winter coming, wouldn't you? If you were to watch just Joe News Channel, right? Local or national, you would believe that the sky is falling. You would believe that that there are people that want to kill you and eat you right? You would believe literally everything that hears, and it would be doom and gloom. And so it's very interesting how powerful people of crooked hearts are. Don't we just feel refreshed when somebody tells the truth? Even if it's a truth that makes them and their personal viewpoint uncomfortable, they still tell what's true anyway, what's reality. So there's a warning here. And ought to be an encouragement to us. When there are scoundrels, when there are those who sow discord and those who devise evil, calamity will fall upon them. They'll be broken beyond healing, and God will take care of it way better than we can, better than our bumper stickers and our T-shirts, and better than, you know, anything we could devise. And I found this to be true, and I think maybe you have in time. You know, you get in the company of scoundrels, and they always fall, as God's word says, they always fall in their own traps. They set a net for you, but they themselves are ensnared in it. And so this ought to give us great comfort, because God always has a sense of humor. You know, Joseph got put in a pit, but later he put lots of food in a pit. And guess who came with their empty sacks? His brothers and his father, and they needed food. So God always has a way of turning the tables. And so what's so important here that we ought to teach our children? Well, I think there's something greater than these three things. We ought to teach our children Christ. We ought to show them their sin. We ought to show them their need of a Savior. Yes, we should teach them these life and death issues. But don't you know that a person who's a new creation in Christ will avoid foolish relationships, whether it's with scoundrels or putting up surety for someone who on their own cannot pay? And for sure, a good Christian will adopt the great Christian work ethic of working hard as unto the Lord in a way that's not pleasing to man, but that's pleasing to Christ himself. And so there's lots to teach. There's lots at stake. But the most important lesson is to capture the heart. The heart we keep from sowing discord and from turning others astray. But we aim at the heart and aim at salvation in Christ, and pray that as they become new creations, they will live wisely and bring the next generation to know the Lord. So let's pause and pray God's blessing on these things. Lord, we thank you for the warnings from Scripture that over and over remind us what to avoid and how to live. And we pray that in Christ Jesus, we would be wise. In Christ Jesus, we would be industrious. And in Christ Jesus, we would avoid those who would ensnare us and drag us into evil and difficult situations. We ask for your blessings in Christ's name. Amen.